my mom, like, put me about life. No matter how much money you have, or how many things, good things you have, you know, those stuff, or house, and those stuff. But I always stay humble.
Yeah.
Myself, I don't want, like, money won't change me.
Yeah.
All the cars that I have won't change me. All the stuff that I have, good stuff. You don't.
Yeah. Oh
yeah.
My God.
I just try to be myself. This is how I like the girl that came from the village. I'm still the same girl.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Uninterrupted with me, David Mbeha. It is so incredibly, what is the word? Satisfying, pleasing, joyful to be joined by the fastest woman in Namibia. From humble beginnings to becoming a national treasure, Kristin Mboma became a national treasure in 2020 when she won the first ever, or when she became the first woman to win the first silver medalist for the country, which was an incredible moment. It's such a humbling experience to sit with her on this episode and to, you know, dig deeper into her story. I am so delighted to be sitting next to you, Kristin Mboma. How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for, you know, gracing us with your presence. I first want to go back to Shinyungwe, right?
Yeah.
That is where you were born. What was it like growing up, or, you know, just the whole experience?
I mean, growing up in the village, like my village.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not that hard. I mean, it was not that easy because, you know, at the age of 15, I lost my mom and I had to stay with my grandmother.
Mm.
And even though I was not having a mom, I was like having dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, your story is one that really touches me, because I lost my mom at 19, and I can just imagine what that experience was like, losing your mother at such a young age. But also, when I, you know, look into your story, it is truly a representation of what God can do with your life if you allow him, because you were already talented from that time. Did you know that you were talented, you know, growing up?
Yeah, because I started running at a young age. I like only for school, going to Rundu and come back. I didn't know that I would run for Namibia, but I just had the love for the sport. Yeah.
Okay, but when you lost your mother, how old were you?
I was
15.
No, I was 13.
13?
No, not 15, 13.
13.
Yeah.
So then, what happened immediately after? Who did you start living with? You said your grandparents?
Yeah.
And what was that life like growing up? You know, did you know that, what did you make sense of the fact that your mother is no longer alive? Were you aware at that age? Or was life just normal?
No, I was aware, because, you know, when I used to stay with my mother, she always, like, make me stay at home and to study, to help her with her stuff. And I didn't have time to go out there and, like, maybe to play with other kids and all the stuff. I only go to school and come back home, you know. It was, like, living with my grandmother. It was not that easy, because, like, how my mom was, like, taking care of me, it's not the same way my grandmother was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you also had to take care of your two siblings, so you had to grow up faster, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So at what point do you then move to Grootfontein?
I was, like, running for, what is this, I qualified for the national, for the school stuff. I was selected for to go to Eswatini. Then I went there to run 800 and 1.5, and I won 2 gold medals. I came back home and I went back to the village, and I thought that I'm done with running, so I have to just stay in the village. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was good experience going there, but I was on newspaper. Then like, you know, some people saw it and like they were willing to give me scholarship, to pay for my scholarship and all the stuff.
Okay.
And then I moved to Grootfontein.
Okay, that's how you got to Agri College.
Mm.
Okay. Moving to Grootfontein, did you immediately start living with your coach, or how, what was the living situation in Grootfontein?
First, I was staying in the hostel.
Okay.
Yeah, and after that, then I moved to the farm to stay with my coach.
Okay. Mm. Okay. And then, what was your practice schedule like? Would you run every day after school? What was the preparation?
It was like in the morning, I'll go to school and like I'll go to school, and around 3 or 5 there, I think 5, yeah, I'll just go
after
for
school.
Yeah, after school, then I'll go and like go for training, yeah.
Okay, so at this point you are not in touch with your siblings, so what was the communication like with your two siblings?
Yeah, but yeah, when I moved to Grootfontein, it was hard, because like I missed my family, I missed my two sisters, so it was so hard, but right now I'm staying with them here in Windhoek.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, so let's go back to 2020.
Mm.
You go and run in Tokyo. Was that the your first time running in at an international race, or?
And first I was like early that year. I went to Europe.
Yeah. Okay.
I went to Europe and I was doing, what is this? Yeah, I went to Europe to qualify for what is for Olympic, and that time no one in Namibia knew about me.
Yeah,
and I just went there, just you know, to try my best. Then I won my first all my race there in Europe. My trip to Europe, I won all the races, all the continental tour, and after that, then I came back home. I prepared to go to Tokyo.
Okay, so let's say you arrived in Tokyo, because obviously you are preparing to run, but what was the city like for you the first time being in Tokyo? What was that like?
I mean, first time, I was like, oh, wow.
Is it beautiful?
I like, it's beautiful. And everything was like perfect, how they planned it
yeah.
Perfect. And a bit also like, I was a bit nervous because
yes.
I really don't understand, like all the race that I ran, it's just like continental tour, you just run once, then you are done. But that one you just have to qualify, and that was my first time to run Olympic. I don't know all the, you know, I just have to watch YouTube videos like for all the Olympian.
Yes.
Yeah, like all those Olympic,
yes.
Like 2012. To understand.
Yeah.
But I was just a bit scared, but my coach always tell me, I must just like focus, I don't have to mind other people.
Mm.
And, you know, I always tell me, just say some word that make me feel happy.
Yeah.
Like, you are the boss and all that stuff, like,
yeah. So that you get that.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it what
always ask me, you always ask me, who's the boss? Then I'll be like, I'm the boss.
Yes, yes. Mm. So then the day finally came and you won that silver medal, which was the first, you then became the first ever woman in Namibia. Did you know how huge that was? Or were you, do you understand like how the magnitude of how big that opportunity was?
Yeah, I mean, I understand, because, you know, when I read the final, I was so scared. I didn't know that I would win any medal.
Mm.
I was just praying to God that, let me just finish my
race
without injury.
Mm.
Let me just do my best, and I just try my best. And I was, you know, if you watch the race, I was a bit scared, nervous there at the end. That's why, like, I try to push. And if I was not nervous, I could be maybe first.
Yeah.
But that was like one of the great moment. It was like winning, I mean, to be the first person that, it's not, you know, most people only understand, it's just, I mean, they only know that it's just a silver. Yeah. But to me and other people would understand or follow the sport, I mean, it mean a lot. Because I broke the world junior record, African record, and I became the first like woman to run sub 22 in Africa, and you know, all those stuff, like, I mean, it means a lot to me and it means a lot to my country.
Yeah.
And I'm very proud of myself and proud to be Namibia.
Yes, and we're also proud of you. You know, I'm listening to your story and all these achievements that you've had, but at the same time, you're so humble. What keeps you humble?
Yeah, for me, this is how my you know, my mom like taught me about life. No matter how much money you have or how many things, good things you have, you know, those or house and those stuff, but I always stay humble. I be myself. I don't want, like, money won't change me.
Yeah.
All the cars that I have won't change me. All the stuff that I have, good stuff, it don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just try to be myself. This is how I, like, the girl that came from the village. I'm still the same girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you are the reason why I started this show is for people to be able to hear stories like this, stories of humble beginnings, and for them to also be able to have that hope that if it can happen for her, it can happen for me, you know, because we all have, you know, humble beginnings. When I look at my story, where I came from and where I am now, I want people to know that it's possible. And I think you are just the perfect representation of that. And you remaining humble and understanding who you are, you know, you said the cars, the houses, all the amazing achievements, they will never change you. How do you think your mom would have reacted to the success that you have had?
She would be so proud of me, because I always told her that when I finish my school or if I start working, I'll buy you a car.
Yeah.
But you know, when I bought my first car, it's written Chago. It's my mother's,
my mother's
name, and my grandmother was so proud of me that most of my property I name after my mom. So it's so, I like, she's so proud of me,
yeah.
And also like just to keep her name. I don't want to forget her name, and that's why I just have a few of my properties just named her. After it.
Yeah. You know, it's like I'm listening to you speak, and the way that you have honored your mom is amazing, you know, and I think that's why you will continue to prosper in your life, because you don't forget where you are and the people that were there even before you, and I feel you will continue to also be successful because of the prayers that they always had for you, you know. Your siblings, what do they understand, like, your success? Are they old enough to understand it?
Yeah, they're old enough to understand. Because I always tell them about, like, my money or my stuff. That, like, I spoil them sometimes, yes.
Yes.
But I always tell them that they must work hard for themselves, and I won't force them, like, to become athletes. Because the younger one, She loves fashion, she loves drawing and all that stuff. Like, she always tells me that she wants to become a fashion model.
Yeah.
So I will support her. I support her. And I just advise them, and I don't tell them what to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, about, like, you know, how to live their life. I mean, if they are doing bad thing, then I will tell them. I'm their parent, and they have to listen to me. If they won't listen to me, then there's no one out there, like,
yeah. So now, you know, you are now on this platform where you've achieved this celebrity status. Who's the first person that, you know, whether it's a DM or just an interaction and you were shocked? Maybe just as anybody, whether it's an athlete, a celebrity, an actor, actress. Is there anybody that you remember maybe DMing you or just interacting with and you thought, I never thought I would meet this person?
Well, who's this? The first, my favorite athlete was Talu and Shelley.
Yes.
And after I won the Olympic, and she came to me and she was like, hugged me.
Mm.
I was like, I almost died. It was like, I ran with them and
yes.
then I beat them and then they came to me and said those stuff. I always watched them on TV.
Yes.
And now this happened. I was so like
yeah.
happy, and after that she reposted my stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was so happy.
Yeah. It was a good moment, you know, when you look up to someone and you feel you meet them and they're actually also very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like you are exactly like that, because when people meet you, they meet the real human being. They don't meet the superstar, you know, and that is really, really beautiful. How do you maintain that?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like going out there, you know, people always be like, Boma. They will be like, good people will come to you, like, just ask you, can I take a picture? Or just want to try to talk to you nice.
Yes.
And then out there, like, there's some people who will be like, Boma, come here. And that, for me, I have short temper.
Yeah.
I'm a cool person. I don't like talking, but if I'm angry, sometimes I can be scary.
Like when somebody...
Yeah, but I avoid doing those stuff too, like in public, even
yeah.
though, like, if someone disrespect me,
yes,
I would just
yes.
smile and thank them, and then I would just walk away.
Yes.
Because I don't have time for, like, you know, someone, you know, even, like, people on social media trying to comment bad thing about me.
Mm.
I don't care, because they don't contribute anything to my life.
Exactly.
And then I don't know them. I don't know where they stay, but they know more about me. So I don't mind those, like, whatever they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm just living my life.
And if anybody understands your story, they would know that such, whether somebody goes on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter and writes something bad, it will never harm you, because where you come from was already hard enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything else feels so simple, and
yeah.
you are far ahead. And I think also people project a lot of stuff. They see how successful you are, how everything is working out well for you, and they want to try and put you down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that you understand that. But then what is your process of filtering, like, the bad comments, whether somebody says it? How do you get rid of that?
Now for me, if like some, like, I'm not a person who like you know, sometimes I go there and read comments.
Yeah.
And or sometimes I just give it to my friend, because I used to get hurt when I
yes.
like people, but now
I also used to feel
yeah, that. But now I decided no.
Yeah.
I'll never.
Yeah.
I'll just, like, if you say bad thing about me, that would be my last time to see my social media. I would just block
you. Because you're going to block me?
I would just block you.
You're going to catch a block.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, I always block people.
Yeah. That is amazing. But what motivates you to keep going in life?
You know, what motivates me to keep, because my mom.
Yeah.
All the promise that I say to my mom, and then my sister,
yeah.
my grandmother. You know, my grandmother, I went to the village last month.
Yeah.
And then to check out the new house that I built for her.
Yeah.
You know, so happy, because, like, seeing my family happy, and that makes me happy. It's not
yeah.
only my family. It's just, like, I like doing... helping, like, a lot of people now.
Yeah.
Help people, but I don't, like, go on social media, I helped this person, I did this, because
yeah.
I'm not doing it for myself, I'm doing it for the person. So I just, like, seeing people happy, especially my family, make me happy. That keep me more, like, keep going, always.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's really, really amazing. And what makes you happy?
Me, as I said earlier,
yeah.
my family makes me happy.
Your family makes you happy. Yeah. What do you like to do in your free time?
I'm always busy, but when I'm free, I just go with my friend, like go for a movie, mm-hmm. go play games, or we just sit and then we just, you know, talk, or we just, you know, yeah. It's just the, like.
Okay. You also have a brand that is out. I think it's what is it called?
Mboma Streetwear.
Mboma Streetwear. Mm. Yeah. How did you come up with that? Has it always been a dream?
Yeah. Like you know, if I take you back, the village, my mom always, you know, she always, you know, like, you know, it's like sewing.
Sewing. Yeah.
Sewing with a needle, like making us skirts and all the stuff.
Yeah.
And then she would like go to, what is this? Chicago, whatever.
Chicago.
To go buy like
sacks. Chicago.
Yeah. To buy sacks of like clothes. Like, she used to like sell the stuff and all the stuff.
Yeah.
And I used to help her to like to sell the stuff.
Yeah.
Now when I'm free.
Yeah.
And then I was like, one day I want to have my own shop and all the stuff. Like, yeah, I was about like, my dream is to buy my mom a sewing machine and open for her, like a studio where she can do everything. But unfortunately, it didn't work out. So I just, like, I was planning that one day when I have money, I will, yeah.
Yeah.
I started the stuff 2021, designing my logo. And then I was like a busy to know to do, like, to bring the stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, but this year then I decided, let me just, you know,
yeah.
You know, try to launch the stuff. Yeah. Yeah, we are launching the website soon. Yeah.
Yeah. I cannot wait, you know, and I think I really would want to also support when it's a photo shoot.
Thank you.
From a street way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. And to conclude this amazing, you know, session, the reason why, you know, we started this show, we want success to feel tangible, you know, like I said in the beginning, we want people to know that if it can happen for Mboma, it might not be necessarily the running aspect for everyone, but everyone has something that God has given to them. And, you know, if you look in deep and you find that which God has given to you, you're able to use that to thrive in life, like how you have been able to use your talent. So I just want to thank you for that, and thank you for being a national treasure, but also for sharing your story authentically, and you still remain who you are no matter what. You know, like you said, money will never change me, cars will never change you, because, you know, you have had all these things. You've had all these things, and it has never, you are not fazed by it. So that is really, really amazing. What would you say to somebody who is out there, maybe finds themselves in a place like Shinyungwe, and hoping that one day they can be able to also just get to where you are? What would you say to someone like that?
I'll say to them, because like I always go there to the village and I talk to the people, you know. Just if you have a dream, don't just throw it away. You just have to like work hard every day. For me, I believe that, I mean, success, I mean, it's just hard work. For me, I believe it's hard work. Without hard work, nothing will happen. They may I'm talking about like sport people. Not only sport people, also like the people who's like in school, just have to work hard.
Yeah.
Just have to, you know, if you have a dream, just have to work hard for, like, work hard to achieve your dream. And even though I have, like, you know, medals and all those stuff, but I still have a goal. I'm still working hard to achieve my goal. They must just believe in themselves. They must stay away from bad friends. And they must just, you know, you know, work hard.
Yeah.
For me, that's the only word that I like to say, is work hard.
Yeah.
Without work hard, nothing will happen.
Yeah, work hard and perseverance.
Mm.
years from now, let's say 100 years, when people watch this video and they see you, what would you like them to remember you for?
Me?
Yeah.
I think just like, I don't know, just me, Christine, who have only one hairstyle.
And red very fast.
Yeah.
But also the hairstyle is iconic. It's a marathon.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So just also for being who,
yeah.
I think if I can summarize it, for just being yourself.
Yeah, being myself. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Uninterrupted.
Yeah.